Good morning and welcome to our Facebook Live on Sunday morning. It's good to have the opportunity to reach out to you again through Facebook Live, share a few minutes of God's Word, some singing this morning. I tell you, I have gained some new respect for a verse of Scripture that I've read since I was a little boy and heard it many, many times in my life. Psalms chapter number 122 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I'm still getting to come to the sanctuary and give these messages on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And there's a couple of sound people that are here with me and maybe one or two more. And the count's not important right now. But as we get this opportunity to come to the sanctuary, man, what a refuge it is to be in the house of the Lord. I'm looking forward to the day when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the doors are open again. We get to fill this place up and begin to draw strength one from another. Again, I encourage you as we are in this time to reach out to each other. Send a little Facebook message, send a text, make a phone call, check on somebody at church. I ask you to do those things. You'll think that you're being a blessing to someone else, and it'll turn around and be a blessing to you as you do those things. But I am looking forward to the time when the church doors are open again to us and we can come in as a full church family and worship the Lord together. It's good this morning to have Jennifer and Hannah with us. Hannah's come to sing for us this morning. I've asked her to sing some special songs, and I ask you to be praying for her as she sings. But before she does, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this time that we have to come into your sanctuary, to come into the house of the Lord. And you said where two or three are gathered together, and God, we know that our number is really small because some of the restrictions has been laid out, and God, that's okay because it doesn't matter who's here as long as you are. And God, we ask you, dear Father, just to send down your sweet Holy Spirit upon this service today. God, I pray as we are given this Facebook Live broadcast this morning, I pray, dear Father, that you will use it. I pray that you'll speak to hearts of Christians. I pray most of all, for one that's lost, that today will be the day that they hear that small, still voice and they accept you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you for the ones that's come to sing for us this morning. I pray that you'll bless them. God, I pray that you'll just help them, God, in everything that they do and help us all that we'll live our lives in a way that gives you glory and points someone to the cross. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.
A mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger. Trust you and believe. Far from you, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this, I will admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. to trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and walking down a memory lane, oh, not so long ago, Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply: "I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Shackled by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. Washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. Shackled by sin and shame, ready gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood.
Amen. I'm thankful for my sins, and knowing that my sins are under the blood this morning. So glad that Hannah and Jennifer could come and sing for us this morning. It makes it so much easier as the songs prepare our hearts for the Word of God. I tell you, even though just sitting here and listening to her sing, I can almost hear Brother Shane clapping his hands and hollering and carrying on. I miss my church family. I miss the strength that I draw from us being here one with another. And still, I'm looking forward to the day when we're back together in God's house. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in a couple of different places in the book of Hebrews. I ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the message this morning. As one of these times that I argued with God about the message, I thought that I wanted to go a certain direction with the message, and God was pointing in another direction. And as I went to bed last night and I was thinking about this message, I began to try to throw excuses to God about why I shouldn't preach this message this morning. And man, there was some other scripture that I really wanted to go to. And the message this morning again will be centered around the cross toward the end of the message. And we've preached on the cross for several weeks now, especially leading up to Easter and from Easter on forward. But I remember that as Billy Graham passed away, and I remember listening to the radio one day shortly after he passed away, there was a man on the radio that said he was sitting at supper with Billy Graham one night, and he asked him, said, if you could change anything about your ministry, what would you change? And he said, I would preach the cross more. And I want you to know something this morning, that every answer, every solution is found at the cross. And we know about the power of the cross. And if we ever get to the place where we don't preach about the blood, we don't preach about the cross, then we probably just need to go home and do something different on Sunday morning, because that's where the answer is for our sins and for our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the message this morning. Again, we're going to be over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9 and chapter number 10, maybe a couple other places. We'll just mind the Lord as we get into the message. I will ask you to pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and again, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to call on your name. We thank you for the good singing. God, we thank you that sometimes that as a mountain comes in our life, that that mountain is not there without you knowing, and that mountain is not there without you having a purpose for it. God, sometimes it does take a mountain for us to realize how much that we need to lean on you and how much that we need to trust in you. And God, I pray that you'll help us to always to do that, to look unto you for our help and our strength. God, I am thankful for the blood, and I pray, dear Father, as we try to preach this morning, that you'll help us, God, to preach the blood, to preach the cross with power, God. God, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit will speak to us. God, I pray that you'll help us as we do these things that we do in our lives, knowing that without you that we can't do anything, and that the answer to our biggest problem of sin is found at the cross through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'll just touch hearts, God. I pray again, if there's one listening today that don't know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that something that is said through your word will touch their heart. And God, I pray that they'll come to know you before it's everlasting too late. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to slow down for just a few minutes this morning and lay some groundwork maybe, and y'all pray for me that I will be able to slow down and get this out the way that God give it to me. Sometimes, for some reason, preaching live without a congregation here, I think that I have to preach 100 mile an hour, and y'all just pray for me. It doesn't matter, you know, if God wants me to preach fast, I'll preach fast, but I want to lay some groundwork before we get to that point this morning. I ask you just to pray that God will calm my nerves and help me to get this out the way that I would like to get it out, in the way that it was given to me. But as we come unto Hebrews, and as we get into the scripture that we're going to get to this morning, I need to lay a little bit of groundwork from the Old Testament before we get into the Hebrew scripture that we want to read. We all know, and if you've been in church for any amount of time at all, we understand that in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, that there was a tabernacle, and that there was priests in the tabernacle, and there was things happening there around that tabernacle that is no longer happening today in the church house. It's no longer happening in priest's life. So as we look at this and as we discuss this morning, I want you to know that in the days of the Old Testament and under the Mosaic law, that there were priests that stayed in the tabernacle to handle daily tasks. They were there and they were trimming the morning and the evening lamps every single day. They were placing the coals of incense on the golden altar there in the tabernacle. And then weekly they would go in and they would replace the showbread that was there in the tabernacle. And I don't have time to get into all of those things. You can go back and you can read over in the book of Leviticus and some different places in the Old Testament. And you can begin to read the Mosaic law and the Levitical law, and you can understand some of those things things that we're talking about here in this scripture. But I just want you to know that there were priests there in the tabernacle, and there was more than one priest there in the tabernacle, but there was also a high priest that was there in the tabernacle. And daily as these priests went in and they performed these duties that we just talked about, I want you to know that there was also a closed chamber there in the tabernacle. There was a place that was separated by a veil. There was a place back that the priests couldn't go in just at any time that they wanted to go into. And it was separated by a curtain or a veil or whatever you wanted to call it. And there in that place, maybe known as the Holy of Holies, there you would find the Ark of the Covenant. And again, you can go back and read the Old Testament about the Ark of the Covenant and the significance of the Ark of the Covenant as the children of Israel were coming there out of Egypt over in the book of Exodus. And as you see the Ark of the Covenant here in the Holy of Holies, we know that in that Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments that Moses had received from God. There was Aaron's rod that he had while helping to lead the children of Israel out. And there was also manna here in this Ark of the Covenant. But there also in the Holy of Holies, there was a mercy seat that the priest would go in. Only the high priest would go in once a year, and he would sprinkle blood upon this mercy seat. And the only time that he would go into this mercy seat, the only time that he would go into this part of the tabernacle is one time a year on the Day of Atonement, when people would come and they would bring their sacrifices unto the high priest. And he would go there into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the mercy seat was, and he would make atonement for their sin. He would never enter into the Holy of Holies without blood. He would always have blood from a sacrifice that had been planned and prepared for this moment. It was not something that they just walked out to the field all of a sudden one day and said, here, this is going to be our sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice that had been prepared and planned for this Day of Atonement. It was one that was perfect and without blemish so that they could offer it for their sins that they had committed throughout the year. This blood then that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and approach there the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. The blood would then be applied to that mercy seat, and there was even specific instructions of how that blood was to be applied to the mercy seat. And once that blood was applied there to the mercy seat, the glory of God would come down there in the Holy of Holies and receive that sacrifice, and the people's sins would be covered for a year. Every single year they would have to do this again. On the Day of Atonement, they would bring their prepared planned sacrifice back to the high priest so that he and he only could go in to the Holy of Holies, so that he and he only could go in and offer this sacrifice for the atonement of their sins. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 3, I want you to read with me this morning. It says, but in those sacrifice, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year as these people would come and they would bring their sacrifice to the high priest, as he would go in to the Holy of Holies, those sins were covered for a year. But then throughout the year, as they messed up, as they sinned, as they failed the law, as they failed the Mosaic law, there was things that needed atonement. And they would have to carry those things for a year until that Day of Atonement come, and the remembrance of those things would have to be brought again for the priest to take the blood into the Holy of Holies. Verse number 3 again, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse number 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. There came a time that the people, it would only cover, it would not take away their sins. These bulls and these goats that they had prepared for the sacrifice, that was a planned, prepared sacrifice for the sins of the people, that was no longer sufficient for the high priest to take in and offer for the sacrifice of the people. So we come to the place where there needed to be a perfect sacrifice. It needed to be a human sacrifice for our sins, a sacrifice once and for all. And that's where we find the scripture, John chapter number 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, as God come to the place that the blood of the bulls and the goats were no longer sufficient, and he knew that there was a sacrifice that needed to be made, I want you to know that there was a planned, prepared sacrifice for you and I. And that planned, prepared sacrifice that we had, that God had for us, was his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That Jesus Christ was that plan prepared sacrifice for our sins. We know that Jesus came as a baby there in a manger. We know that he lived here on this earth for 33 and a half years or something close to that, and he lived a perfect sinless life. See, just like we're going to draw the parallel back to the sacrifice that they had in the Old Testament, that had to be a sacrifice without spot and without blemish, that it had to be groomed, that it had to be well taken care of, and that sacrifice needed to be perfect as they brought it there to the high priest, that we know that Jesus lived here on this earth, that he lived a perfect sinless life. Not one mistake did he make. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way just as we are tempted, yet without sin, that he never failed, he never comes short, that he was the plan prepared perfect sacrifice for you and I. Now we know that there, as he hung there on the cross, and that as he shed his blood there on the cross, as those Roman soldiers thought that they were taking his life, they thought they were killing Jesus, they thought that they were ending his life, we know that Jesus Christ said that no man would take his life, but that he freely gave it for you and I, that he laid his life down, that he become a sacrifice for you and I as he hung there on the cross, as he hung there and they done all of the terrible things that they did to him there on the cross, as he shed his blood for us, as my sin and your sin was put on him there on the cross, so much so that God had to turn his back on him and look away because of the sin reproach that was put on him there on the cross. We know as he hung there on that cross that he become that perfect sacrifice for you and I. But I want you to know that he was not only just a sacrifice for us, that yes, he was brought here to this earth with one mission in mind, and that was to live that perfect sinless life and be a sacrifice for you and I, that he was brought here to this earth, that he chose to come here, that he was planned and prepared to come here, that he may give his life for you and I and be that perfect sacrifice. But I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. He was not only the planned, perfect, prepared sacrifice for you and I, but I want you to see in verse number 11 through verse number 14 that he is something else to us. But Christ being common high priest, he was not only the planned, perfect, prepared sacrifice for you and I, but he is also our high priest this morning. As we discussed under the Mosaic law, that only that high priest could go in to the Holy of Holies, and he would never go in without blood, and he would go in and he would offer that sacrifice for the sins of the people for that on that day of atonement. I want you to know that Jesus Christ become our high priest, and not only was he our sacrifice, but he is our high priest. Let's continue reading. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purine of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I know that Jesus Christ was my planned, perfect, prepared sacrifice, but as he become my priest there on the cross, as he become my priest, as he was hanging there on the cross and he cried, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, we know that they took him and they laid him in a borrowed tomb, and we know what's going to happen 3 days later. But I believe that there are some things that happen even in those 3 days. I believe that there are some things. Look, this is my imagination working just a little bit this morning, drawing a parallel back to the Old Testament under the Mosaic law, as that high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. I can just imagine as Jesus Christ become my high priest, as Jesus Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for me, and then he became my high priest. Can't you imagine this morning as Jesus Christ approaches the Holy of Holies? Can't you imagine Jesus on your behalf? Now look, the Old Testament high priest, he had to prepare himself to go into the Holy of Holies. And I want you to know that there, even in the in all of that, that there was things that high priest had to offer a sacrifice for himself. But Jesus needed no sacrifice. He was a sacrifice for you and I. And I can just imagine in my mind as Jesus Christ approaches the Holy of Holies. And we know in the Old Testament how they wouldn't approach without blood. And that blood was from bulls and goats. But I want you to imagine Jesus Christ approaching the Holy of Holies with the blood, with his own blood, the darling Lamb of God that gave his life there on the cross and shed his blood for you and I. I can just imagine as he goes in to the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice, to make that blood offering for you and I. As he goes in and you see, as he approaches that mercy seat with the blood that he gave there on the cross, as he enters in on my behalf and on your behalf, I'm thankful this morning that I didn't get what I deserve, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ gave his life for me, that he gave his life's blood so that I could have atonement for my sin. As he enters into the Holy of Holies, there carrying his own blood, approaching that mercy seat with his blood on my behalf, as he takes and he sprinkles his blood on the mercy seat, as he reaches down and he gives his blood there on the mercy seat for you and I. I can just imagine the glory of God that fell on that place. I can just imagine as that blood was given on my behalf and on your behalf for the atonement of my sins, as Jesus Christ, my high priest, went into the Holy of Holies on my behalf, as he went in and gave his blood for you and I. I can just imagine the glory of God that fell on the place as Jesus gave his blood for the sacrifice, and as God accepted that sacrifice, oh, the glory of God that must have fallen. I can just go back to the scripture where Jesus was baptized, and then we know that as John baptized him there in the river, that the Bible says that the Spirit of God ascended on him like a dove, or descended on him like a dove, and we know that there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But can you imagine what it was when the mission was accomplished, when the mission had been secured, when Jesus Christ went in and he offered that blood sacrifice there on the mercy seat for you and I, as he had done exactly what he had been sent here for. He had accomplished the mission that he came to this earth for. Man, the glory of God that must have fallen there in that place that day. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, not only was he my sacrifice, but he is my high priest this morning, that he went in and he offered that sin sacrifice for you and I. As we know, as he hung there on the cross, as he cried, "It is finished," the Bible tells us the veil of the temple was rent in twain, that separation that kept me, that kept you, that kept the other priest out of the Holy of Holies, that separated it to where only the high priest could go in. The Bible tells us that veil in the temple was rent, that now it is an open door for you and I to go into. I want you to know that as Jesus offered that sin sacrifice, as he offered that blood sacrifice, as he offered that perfect prepared sacrifice, the blood there on the mercy seat, I'm thankful for this. That wasn't something that just covered my sin. It wasn't something that just covered it for a year and that my sin would continue to pile up and I would have to come back and do it over and over and over again, because you know Jesus Christ died on the cross once. He was my sacrifice once, but that blood that he shed, that blood that was given there on my behalf, it is well good enough to cover my sins, but not only cover my sins, it has washed my sins away, never to be remembered against me again. At the age of 7, when I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, he didn't cover my sins. He didn't just place something over top of them so that he couldn't see them. But he forgave me of my sins. He forgot my sins and he washed my sins away. And I'll never stand accountable for those sins. When I stand before God, even though there is sin that comes in my life, even though there's things that happens in my life that there shouldn't be, even though I was a sinner, even at the age of 7 when I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, and he washed my sins away, when I stand before a holy and a righteous God, he won't see my sins. He won't see my failures. They've not been covered. They've been washed. But he's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to my life. Man, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. As that veil was rent in twain, I hope somebody's hallelujahing out there somewhere. I tell you what, I could about run a circle, but Lance gets mad if I move too much on this camera. As we know, as Jesus was there, as he said, "It is finished," and the Bible tells us that veil in the temple was rent in twain, you now have access directly to the throne. I'm thankful. Listen, I don't mind as your pastor anytime that you need prayer. I don't mind you calling me, texting me, whatever you need to do to get hold of me. I don't mind that at all. But let me just reassure you of something, remind you of something, that you don't need me. You've got access to the Heavenly Father. We have a mediator in Jesus Christ. Not only was he my sacrifice, not only is he my high priest, but he's my mediator. When I need something and I call on Jesus, who in the world would you rather go to God on your behalf than Jesus Christ himself? He's my mediator. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15. The Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." In other words, you have a high priest that cares about you. He says, "But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The veil in the temple is rent. I don't need to run to a priest. I don't need to call my dad. I don't need to call the deacons here at the church. If I need to get a hold of God, the only thing I got to do is pray to him in his son's name. And the Bible tells me that he will incline his ears. I have a mediator in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that Jesus was my sacrifice. I'm thankful that he shed his blood for me. I'm thankful that he is my high priest. And I'm thankful that he is my mediator this morning. I can only imagine, as Jesus offered his blood for the atonement of my sins, as Jesus presented that blood there on the mercy seat and it was accepted by his heavenly Father, I can only imagine the glory that fell. And all of this is really, really exciting. There's no better news that I could give you than knowing that Jesus Christ offered his blood for your sins. But there's no worse news than you knowing that Jesus Christ offered his blood for your sins and you've rejected it. And you've never accepted that blood that Jesus Christ gave for you. See, Jesus did his part. He became your sacrifice. He became your high priest. He wants to be your mediator. But if you never accept him as your personal savior, he, along with his heavenly Father, will be your judge. The Bible tells us, I know I mentioned this over and over and over, but it is so much truth that there's no way that I can get away from it. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. One day you will stand before God just as I will. One day, when I lay this body down for whatever reason, whatever takes me out of here, I will stand before God. And it's not going to matter whether I did all the right things here on this earth, whether I was good at my job, whether I was a good pastor. I want to be, and I think that God expects me to be. But that's not what's going to matter the most. The only thing that's going to matter when I stand before God is whether I have accepted what Jesus Christ did for me there on the cross, as he become my sacrifice and my high priest. Christians, we should be rejoicing this morning, knowing that we have a high priest that offered that sacrifice for you and I. That atonement, and it's not a covering, but a washing away. You should be excited this morning that you have access to the Father. You should be excited that the sin that you find yourself in, maybe from time to time, that we can run to God and say, "God, forgive me of my sin." And that blood washes our sins away. We should be excited in all of those things. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted him, if you've never asked him to take that blood and apply it to the mercy seat on your behalf to wash your sins away, you should be walking around scared to death. Well, preacher, what in the world do you mean? We never know when we're going to leave this earth. It seems like weekly I get phone calls from people and I hear people dying of all ages. Death is no respect of persons. I've seen the young die, I've seen the old die, and I've seen everything in between. If you don't believe me, walk out to any graveyard in this town, in this county, and begin to walk around and look at the birth dates and the death dates on the tombstones. And you'll see that people of all ages die and stand before God. See, I don't know when my time is, and you don't know when your time is. The only thing that's going to matter, though, is whether or not you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and had that blood applied to your life. If you will, bow your head with me for just a minute. If y'all will, get ready to sing an invitation hymn, please. As we have our head bowed for just a minute, Christians, we should take this opportunity, first of all, just to praise God. Worship Him in our hearts for that blood sacrifice, for being our perfect sacrifice, for being our high priest and being our mediator. Take just a minute and thank Him. Don't take it for granted. Man, what He's done for us, can't even begin to explain. But now I want you to pray. If you will, pray with me. That if there's somebody that's lost that's listened to this message today and they've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, pray that God will speak to their heart right now. Pray that they'll hear His voice calling their name and that they won't miss this opportunity to accept Him as their Savior. Pray that they won't have that mindset, well, I'll get saved when I get ready, because we all know it doesn't work like that. The only time you can get saved is when God's Spirit is calling you. If you're lost, you've heard this message today, I want you to know that blood was shed for you. This could be your day of atonement. Well, preacher, I'm not worthy. You don't know what all I've done. I'm glad that God didn't put any restrictions on the blood of His Son. His blood will wash away all of our sin. Are you willing to admit that you're a sinner? To believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that He gave His life for you, that He was buried, on the third day He arose? Are you willing to confess Him as your Savior and ask Him to forgive you of your sins? If you are, you can be saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You do. God, thank You for the power of the cross. Thank You for the prepared, planned sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. Thank You for being my high priest and my mediator. God, I want to worship You and glorify You and give You honor and praise because You're truly worthy. God, I pray, dear Father, if there's one that's listened to this message today, no matter where they're at, I pray that You'll speak to their heart if they're lost. I pray that You'll draw them and they'll take this opportunity to accept You as their personal Savior. God, thank You for even in the times that I've messed up and strayed away as a Christian, that You've never given up on me, that I have access to the Father, that veil is rent in twain, and I can come to You anytime I need to. Thank You for being a Heavenly Father that loves me with a love that's unexplainable. All these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Hannah's going to sing a song for us. If God has spoken to you, please don't miss this opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ.
It's been a long, long road, and my soul has grown so weary. I just can't understand all the struggles within me. There have been times I've strayed away, even times I could not pray. But somehow my faith would say, just hold on, there's a brighter day. He never gave up, He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is gone, have you often asked yourself, is there a reason to go on? But He looks beyond my guilty stains. His mercy takes the blame. So forget about your past. Just praise the Lord, you're free at last. He never gave up, He never gave up. could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I trust that God's word was a blessing. I know the singing was sure a blessing to me and to my heart. Looking forward to what God's got in store for us. Throughout this week, just remember that you have that mediator, that you have that high priest. Run to Jesus. That's always the right answer. Good Lord willing, if nothing don't happen, we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for our Wednesday night Bible study. Be sure to keep a look on our page. We're going to do some stuff that's going to be kind of interesting. We'll be posting some announcements and different things on our page. And again, anytime that you have the opportunity, share the stuff that's on our page. It's almost like inviting your friends to church. Not quite. I would encourage you when God somebody puts somebody on your heart, not only just to think, well, I shared a post with them, call them, direct them to it. Call them, let them know how much you care for them, that you want them to come to God's house with you when the opportunity is available. Thank you. Church, I love you. Looking forward to the day we're back together.